hey, you big kids, stay with me. We're going to see ourselves whole, embracing the value of our person, our presence, and our purpose. You are something to God. Seeing yourself from the inside out, seeing that you are enough, say it with me, I am enough, because God made me that way. Seeing the divinity within you, for the Bible says that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, and that you are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. Do you realize a doctor will not open your body unless he trusts that the fearfully, wonderfully made truth of what God made you to be is going to heal up those wounds? Someone say amen. So they go in believing too. And you got greatness within you. For greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. We want to see ourselves healthier, wealthier, more embraced, more open and embracing more than what we could ever imagine. We want to keep talking about thoughts on liberation. Everyone say liberation. And liberation through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The definition to liberate or being or liberating is this: to set at liberty or make free something or someone from the force or domination of an outside force. How many have experienced that? Say amen. Greater is he that is in you than outside forces around you. I want you to summon the greater one this morning and let it live and let it do its thing. Or to be freed from a negative traditional or social attitude or role. How many of you in your life have had to be liberated from negative stereotypes about yourself? Say amen to that. I thank God that I'm liberated and I am not who people think I am. I am who God says that I am. Amen. And that's my story. I'm sticking with it. How about you? Right on. Well, let's think about it. Say this with me. Why? Woo! Yes, Lord. What if a little tweak in your world could change your world? Just a little tweak. But a little tweak can make big changes. The difference between ordinary and extraordinary can be a little tweak. The breakdown or breakthrough can be a little tweak. I want to win or learn, but I'm never going to lose because God is for me. Even when it looks like failure, I learn something from it because God is for me. So we're going to look at resurrection hope, and we're going to look at and reflect on the resurrection as the scripture says. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, that's reflection with confession. This is what self-help gurus are doing. They get you by the end of the book or the middle of the book, and I'll have you 31 days, repeat this or repeat that, and you'll do it if you want more power in one area or another. Someone say amen. So our challenge is to take God at his word. Take God at his word. If he says the resurrection's got power, then I believe it. We're on a 50-day challenge to let or explore the power of the resurrection and how it can improve your life. How many so far have experienced improvement in your life? Every day getting up with a prayer card. If you guys would like this prayer card, the ushers have one right now. Raise your hand if you want a prayer card because there's a few more days to go. Keep those hands up as the ushers bring the prayer cards. And let's pray what's on the prayer card. Are you ready? Say it with me. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe intellectually, emotionally, and reasonably that God raised him from the dead. Give him praise offering for that. Oh, yes. I believe it. Let's keep going. Say it. I believe this fact will impact my life, causing me to think clearer, recover faster, and be liberated in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Spirit. And everybody say, amen. So we're down to 21 days today. And you can start in 21 and get it done too. It's all about what you believe and what you do. We're going to continue with thoughts about the resurrection. Everybody say this, ready? The wonder of the resurrection is the most powerful force in the universe. Thinking clearer plus recovering faster equals liberation, everyone. I got a clear mind and I'm able to bounce back. Resilience is what we're after. Today we're going to talk about thinking clear exclusively, change your thinking and change your life, or having a life-giving brain. Look at somebody and say, do you have a life-giving brain? Ask them that. Do you have a life-giving brain? Because that's what the power of the resurrection will do for you. So everybody say, Jesus is alive. Say, he walked away from the tomb. And if you believe that in your heart, then you have a liberated, life-giving brain that can see and believe, that can seek and find, and that can hear and receive. Let the church say, amen. Amen. Let's stand on our feet and let's read some scripture. Oh, praise God. How many feel just a vibration of God in your cells right now? Right. If your cells are not altered by his presence, I don't know how to help you. But your cells are not only altered by God's presence. Your cells are altered by the presence of those next to you. So grab somebody's hand and let's read some scripture. John 20, 8 through 9. Ready? Then the other disciples who had reached the tomb first also went in. He saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Everybody say this. Let's declare the miracle of abundant life. Are you ready? Lord, I now relinquish all grievances, resentments, and regrets, and I choose the miracle. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Right on. You may be seated all around the room. I'm going to read some more scripture for you because I want to set the premise of these thoughts about thinking clear and why it's important to have a renewed mind to move forward in life. Numbers 24, 1 through 4 talks about a man named Balaam. The scripture says he was a prophet. He was someone that had a prophetic gift in the Old Testament while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, there because of their own sins, there because of their own choices. And now someone has come along and has asked Balaam to curse the children of Israel because they were afraid of the numbers that were growing and they were afraid of God's promise in the future of their life. Do you know that evil forces are terrified of the great good and love that's on the horizon in your life that sits right here in these chairs? So face it, folks, evil is dumb. And why is it dumb? It does not realize that its ending is predicted and is assured. It will not last forever. It will come to pass. Now then, a guy named Balaam saw it pleased the Lord to bless Israel. He did not resort to divination as in other times for money, but instead looked toward the wilderness where God's people were. When Balaam looked out and saw Israel encamped tribe by tribe, the Spirit of God came on him and he spoke this message. The prophecy of Balaam, son of Beor, the prophecy of one who what? I see clearly, who hears the words of God, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who falls prostrate before him, whose eyes are what? Open. Say it with me. My eyes are open, Lord. Everybody say this. Clarity, wisdom, understanding. That's clear thinking. Now, I want to keep going with Balaam because he was the original talking donkey. Amen. Right on. It wasn't Eddie Murphy. It was in Balaam's story. He had a donkey that talked. Balaam's new relationship with God gave him the ability to think clearer. The rest of the scripture before that says this. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord. Everyone say the donkey saw it. Oh, man, my puppy Lily sees all types of things that I need to pay attention to. You know why they see things is because they're innocent. And they don't question what they see. They just go with it. Everything's honest. Everything's true. And so then the donkey, just honest and true, serving his master, he saw an angel and he laid down under Balaam and he was very angry. He began to beat his animal. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth. Anybody ever watch these commercials about abused animals? Does it just tear your heart apart? But you know, not only do I want everybody in the world liberated by the love of Jesus Christ, I want us to be kinder and gentler to those that God has entrusted us to take care of. Someone say amen. I think if every person in this room for a season in our life owned a small dog, there's a chapter in a book I'm going to write that own a small dog. You will learn empathy. Let's keep going, John. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth and said to Balaam, "What have I done to you to make you beat me these three times?" Balaam answered the donkey, which is remarkable. This story cracks me up. Did he ever once say, "Hey, what? Donkey, Shrek?" No. "You have made a fool of me. If only I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you, donkey." And donkey said to Balaam, Am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden to this day?" Boy, it's not good when an animal thinks clearer than you do. But when he can reason it down to Jesus, then Lord, help us. Certainly we should be able to. "Which you have written all these days, have I been in the habit of doing this to you, hurting you?" "No," he said. Then the Lord opened what? And he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a sword drawn. So he bowed low and fell face down. Everyone say wisdom, clarity, understanding. That's clear thinking. From infancy, the brain is our battleground. That's the bottom line. The brain is lying to you. That's why you walk by faith and not by sight. So psychologists have proved to you that everything I'm doing right now, my brain is anticipating things because my reptilian brain developed first, and it was fight or flight. And so I have already predisposed to anticipate things just in case I need to run away. So based on whoever's coming, do research on it. It's amazing. But there's no denying the facts. Your brain will lie to you, and the Bible says it will too. Walk by faith and not by what? Sometimes I just got to believe it's going to be okay no matter what I see. Amen. And your mind is the battleground, and the Bible says of the three levels of the mind, it says there's strongholds and there's evil imaginations, and then the final part is the big outer cranium part where he says, "And take captive every thought that comes into you." Say, "I have authority to control my thinking." Because the safest place in the world is up here. Anything you think about, as long as you keep it here and think it through to Jesus, you're going to be okay. You're not going to say things that hurt people, do things that offend. You're not going to do things intentionally that would harm anybody. And like Balaam's new relationship with his donkey, it was an impossible thing. But he thought clear when the donkey spoke, so it is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ that you are able to think clear. Your new relationship with God through Christ's resurrection will keep you open-minded. Everybody say open-minded. Right on. So we see the restoration of the connection between the heart and the brain. See, a resurrection in your heart means that you have a life-giving brain, that things that come out of that head is born-again stuff. Everybody say it's born-again stuff. Because you'll be born again several times in your life, not just one time. Every time I walk and discover something new, I'm born again. Every time that I have a new encounter that I did not quite understand but now understand because of experience in life, I'm born again. Then I have to be equipped to handle any news that comes my way. When I heard about a terminal disease in my life, it changed my view, and I began to look to God for a new birth experience so that I can be equipped for the journey that pancreatic cancer required. Let the church say amen. Say, I am born again. And don't ever forget, when he said this, it was to Nicodemus, who was not an unbeliever. So being born again is not just about your first experience with God. It's about you growing up and understanding that growing up requires that you learn things and that you open up the things and you let some things go and you embrace new things. Amen. And say, it's all God. So he wants to give you a life-giving brain to confirm the truth that's in your life. That doesn't mean everything in your life isn't true. There's a lot of things that are already right about you. You're already thinking the right way, but also a life-giving brain in the new birth will challenge the big lie. How many know and think about big lies in your life? Right on. And the more you confess the resurrection, the more the big lie becomes apparent, and you realize it was just that thing that was told me when I was a kid that's been hindering my life. It was that vulnerable moment in time where that guy or that girl or that parent said that which was incompatible with who I am and where I'm going, and it stuck with me. I need to resolve that in my life, and I can move on. Yes, it is. Because words are power. Power is words. And there's some big lies. But a new birth with grace and gentleness brings you new to a new revelation. And you will be okay. Look at somebody and say, it's going to be okay. I call it thinking it through to Jesus. Say it with me. Now, as I was going through some experiences with my family and some challenges that really hurt, bitterly personally, some of the things were just dark and shameful. And every family goes through these things. It rains on the just and the unjust. We don't sign up for this stuff. It's just life as you're moving forward in God. But I began to say to the children in the home when we were challenged by things, I said, listen, with every situation in life, think it through to Jesus. So if it erupts or if it explodes, remember, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? Where is Jesus on this? Did Jesus ever have a family crisis before? Absolutely he did. Did Jesus ever have a challenge in several of them? Was Jesus ever misunderstood? Certainly he was. The Bible says that in Christ, we have a high priest that understands everything about us and that we can trust him in the time of need, because not only did he experience it, he overcame it and he resurrected on the third day. And now I have today afforded me, through his resurrection, through that experience, just if I would just think about it every day and say, you know what, I'm going to take God as his word. See if I can get bigger and stronger. See if I can be faster and quicker. See if I can do it what I couldn't do before. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden you start thinking it through to Jesus. You start thinking it through to love. How do I arrive at love in this situation where my child was abused? How do you do it? How does the Father want to just rip the heavens, express anger and rage? But in that moment, I had to remember my own words, think it through to Jesus, and grab all those daughters and get them in a circle and just hold each other and just cry and then make a decision. It's going to be okay. If God is for me, which he is, who can be against me? Everything that I ever said that I would do if I were ever confronted with that was a big lie. I had to sit down. I'm not going to be specific with you. I'm just going to say it hurt. But when I thought through Jesus, I took a different path. I got a different perspective. And I was able to settle in with the Lord and with all of it and navigate through the shadow of death, the valley, back to life. Everybody say, I know where life is, and I know where to go to find it. Say, I know where peace is, and I know where to go to find it. So when you think it through the Jesus, you're thinking it through the love. You're thinking it through to peace. Jesus is the what? Prince of Peace. So if Jesus is the Prince, he must have a place. And that place, wherever the Prince of Peace is, I must go. It just doesn't fall on you. You have to get up intentionally and say, I believe, I trust, I believe that that resurrected body can impact my life and change my mind and give me the authority to think it through and make it happen. It's not only that, it's thinking it through to mercy. You pray every time you pray the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, or forgive us our trespasses as we forgive what? Those who trespass against us. Everything in the Lord's Prayer is a roadmap for your emotional stability. It is emotionally stable to remember that God is your Father. It is emotionally stable for Him to be worshipped because it's good for you to praise. It's not that God needs you to praise Him because He's some big insecure being. You need to praise Him because you need to be set free from the fear that encompasses everything around you. So you got to reach up and reach higher just like a little child. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It gives me emotional stability to know that God has a scale model, a prototype, a plan in heaven that He is producing in earth. And it has my name on it, John Richard McGee. This is who I called you to be. So when the report comes through and says, no, this is going to happen. No, this is what heaven says about me. And what it told me predates anything that's happened to me along the way. All things work together for good. Hallelujah. Amen. It gives you emotional stability to know it's a kingdom and it's authority and it's power. It gives me emotional stability to know that He has guaranteed that I will have something to eat. Give us this day our daily bread. It gives me emotional stability to look at Him and know that He will regulate the evil forces around me in my life. Because I say, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from what? Evil. Someone say amen. You'd be amazed what your angels and spirituality and love and your ancestors' love from heaven and all the forces of the great cloud of witnesses that sit here in this room saying there is a God, there is a way, there is life, and life more abundantly. You'd be amazed how much it is impacting every cell of your body, telling you, yes, I can be healed. Yes, I can be changed. Yes, I will live. I will not die in Jesus' name. And it is emotionally liberating to know that if I extend mercy, I receive it. In one scripture, Jesus actually says, He says, if you don't forgive them, I don't forgive you. And if you don't forgive them, I'll still forgive them. And they'll go on in life, and you will be stuck with what happened and what went wrong. In the resurrection, the one that Jesus had to have this unbelievable faith, that if he allowed others weaker, less capable, to take his life from him, because he says, no man takes my life from me, I lay it down. So by laying it down, he allowed himself to be vulnerable to weaker, less informed, less equipped people. I know none of you have ever been in that situation before. But somebody's got to be the adult in the room. Why not you? In every situation in life, there needs to be an adult. And in the situation of the eternity of this planet and its people, Jesus that day decided to be the adult. And instead of lying to himself and pretending that he wasn't bothered by it, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Lord, you know what? Maybe I'm not so into this, but finally, not my will, but thy will. And on his way, Peter decided to take up a sword and fight. But Jesus said, no, this is their day. And besides that, Peter, if I was not going to do this, I have the authority right now to call 10 legions of angels, and this whole thing can stop right now because I have that authority. But understand, I'm going to let this happen because there needs to be an adult in the room. There needs to be an adult on the planet. There needs to be an adult in your home, someone who sees the beginning from the end, the first from the last, someone who sees a plan that will not fail. Amen. And Jesus saw the plan, and even to the point when God was offended himself from heaven, watching them beat him and persecute him and harm him, Jesus looked at the Father while carrying the cross. He said, Father, you forgive them. Now, how many have ever read that and thought, Father, I forgive them? That's not what he said. He said, Father, you forgive them. See, this morning, as a child, how many parents in the room raise your hand up? Right? Grandson there. He runs the house. Let that revelation set in for just a second more. We're no different than him in the kingdom. And Jesus having that relationship with God, knowing that God would do anything for him, knowing that God might be bothered by everything he said that Jesus must do, Jesus sensing in heaven that God struggled with what was happening, he looked up to the Father and he said, Father, you forgive them. They know not what they do. Didn't you understand what Jesus said when he says, you know what, unless the people praise me, the rocks will cry out, our earthquake will, unless these things that God has set in his appointed time, unless they happen, guess what? Unbelievable things could happen that are not so good. Yet because you obey the Lord and you're the adult in the room this morning and you made it to church and you're receiving the word and you're thinking it through the Jesus and you're thinking it through the love and mercy and kindness, the world has hope because you are equipped with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you are equipped to be the adult and move God to the place of grace. Everybody say GPS. You are a God positioning system. Where you are, God will be. What he wants is that where I am, you will be also. But the reality is that if I want to live here in 1985, he'll stay there with me. And so will my angels with their hands underneath like this. I wonder when he's just going to move forward. I wonder when he's going to move away from this place and think it through the Jesus and move past the bitterness and go ahead to the cross and let it all happen and move on and be resurrected and get a new life and a new birth. Amen. Anybody's brain and heart connecting this morning? Amen. Right on. Hallelujah. But instead, Jesus took God that day and he said, I'm going to the cross. I'll see you in the grave because that's where I'm going. And on the third day, while he was in the grave doing the impossible, God showed up. And the reason why you celebrate this morning is because that man's faith took him all the way to death. And God kept his promise and brought him back to life again so that you this morning, can appropriate all of the wisdom, knowledge, and authority of such powerful decision making, such incredible decision making, such clarity of mind in the face of great controversy. You can draw that from Jesus and his resurrection this morning. If you like that, stand on your feet and let's go get some more. Amen. Look at somebody and say, think it through to Jesus. Right on. A man whose eyes see clearly. Oh, Lord, I don't need my dog to talk to me this morning to know that I need to forgive and love and hope and believe. I just need to let the resurrection talk to me this morning and set me free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.